It is so good to be here. We haven't been here in so long. Believe it or not, that's not always by choice. Many times we just can't make it down here. But we're here today, and we thank God for that. The title of my sermon this morning is In the Presence of Angels. I love talking about angels. A few years ago, the one and only subject that I studied was Bible prophecy and end time events. I came to the conclusion at that time that the catalyst that was going to get the ball rolling, so to speak, was going to be an economic meltdown of catastrophic proportions. This was years and years ago. Way back then, it was hard to see how that could happen in the world. But today, the countries of the world are teetering on the brink of a worldwide economic catastrophe. Now, I'm not talking about the third world countries. Those countries have already defaulted on their loans many, many years ago. I'm talking about Greece and Italy, Spain, and yes, the good old U.S. of A. The professionals tell us that unless they raise the debt ceiling, we're going to default on our debt. The two sides responsible for doing that, for raising it, can't agree on how to do it. And really, if you look at it at face value, we're stuck between a rock and a hard place, because raising the debt limit means you're getting into more debt. And on the other hand, defaulting on your loans means that a lot of people are going to have a very hard time making it in this country. Interest rates go up, and it just makes things a lot worse. I know that we, as Seventh-day Adventists, looking forward to end time events, realize that there's a lot of things in the last days that can scare you. One thing that really makes a crisis more frightening, more horrifying, and harder to deal with is when you're left alone in a crisis. Last Sunday, my wife and children joined the few of our church family that went out to the Elk River. How many of you were able to join them, or join us out there? Just a few. How many of you knew they were having it? Okay. Well, Kim and I and the kids, we went, and we spent a little time there at the picnic site, and then we went up the road and got in the canoes, and we had a wonderful time up until a point. There was a gravel bar in the middle of the river, and there was swift water moving around to the right of this gravel bar, and it was more calm to the left. Kim was in the front and I was in the back, and we tried to go to the left, and the water pulled us to the right, and we got stuck on that gravel bar. Instead of getting out of the canoe and pulling it around to the other side, I didn't have my swim shoes on, and I didn't want to get wet. So instead of, you know, getting out and pulling it around to the other side, we used our canoes together, I mean our paddles together, and we pushed back, you know, and we were able to get unstuck. But much to my horror, the back end of that canoe got caught in that swift water, and it turned the canoe sideways. And right there was a very large tree that had fallen over, and thankfully it was high enough that we could go under it. But the canoe hit the branches of that tree, and it tilted sideways, and we all went into the water. I went down head first. I came up, and my poor kids were screaming bloody murder. Now, the water was about chest deep there, and it was really, really swift. I stood up, and of course, I had kind of drifted down the river just a little bit, right there, still under the tree, basically. And I was able to stand up. I got my footing just barely, because the water was so strong, the current right there. And when I came up, the only thing that was on my mind was Melinda and Michelle, Melinda and Michelle, Melinda and Michelle. Thankfully, we all had life vests on. I think we were the only ones in the group that had them on. Everyone else was sitting on them in the canoes. When I came up, Melinda and Michelle went floating by, and I grabbed them and pulled them in as best I could, and it was hard for me to hold them and keep my footing. The bank there was, like, really high, and it was muddy and wet and slick. That was a crisis. Melinda and Michelle were both, especially Michelle, was crying. That was a crisis. My kids were so scared. But you know the one thing that quieted their fears? You know what it was? Daddy was right there in the water with them, and I grabbed them and pulled them in close. When I pulled them in, I grew up in Texas, and I'm a country boy. I used to love going fishing. And I remember going with my dad, and we would find a pond that was way back up in the woods, very secluded. You know, not very many people would go fishing there. And I remember walking around the edge of the pond, and there would be willow trees like hanging over in the water, and the moccasins would fall out of the trees into the water. You ever seen that? Yes. Well, we're underneath this gigantic tree, and all I'm thinking is water moccasin, water moccasin, water moccasin. Snake, snake, snake. And it's a scary situation. A very scary situation. Thankfully, there were no snakes. I got my wife out, and with the help of Jazzy over here, we were able to get the canoe turned over and righted, and everything was okay. We got back in, and after a few minutes, of course, the paddles and everything went down the river, and Mark was able to capture those for us and bring them back. And that was a crisis situation. But thankfully, no one was hurt. We didn't know it, but around the exact same time that this was happening to us, there was another boat in the Elk River that got stuck on a gravel bar. The gentleman fell into the water and drowned on the same day, around the same time. Two very similar situations with very different outcomes. The subject of my sermon is about the angels. We must realize as Christians entering the last days that we are never, ever alone. When I look back on that event, I think, you know, there's so many things that could have gone wrong. I could have gone in head first and hit my head on a rock. There could have been snakes all over the place. The tree could have been a little lower so that we couldn't have gone under it. It could have, you know, been pulled underneath the tree and then got hung on a branch, or just any kind of thing could have gone wrong. But the Lord took care of us. Turn with me to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. As we get into the meat of my sermon this morning. Romans chapter 2. Romans, not Acts. Romans chapter 2 and verse 11. A very, very simple statement. For there is no respect of persons with God. What does that mean? Well, it means this. God doesn't show favors to one that he's not willing to show to another. You understand that? God doesn't treat one better than another. He causes his rain to fall on the just and on the unjust, the good and the bad. So every time you see a blessing that God gives to someone else, you can look at that blessing and say, God will do the exact same thing for me. I want to tell you a story about a gentleman. I don't remember his name, but I think it was Richard. The pastor there in Texas, when we were on vacation a few weeks ago, told us a story in his sermon. And this happened in June of this year. Richard was a Black Panther, a former Black Panther. And the pastor of this church, a Caucasian gentleman, was able to befriend him, study the Bible with him, and this former Black Panther gave up his racist views and came and stood with the people of God in the Church of the Living God, became a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. That's what the grace of God can do for you. Well, Richard, the pastor, said that he's been having a lot of problems. His wife has cancer, and she's dying from cancer. Very stressful situation for him and his wife. He said that he received a call in sometime during the month of June, and one of his children who lives, or several of his children live in Houston. He lives in Michigan, I think it was. Well, they called, and they were having some financial difficulty, and they asked if he could send them some money. So he and his wife decided, instead of sending them the money, he would take it to them so they could see their mother. Richard said that his mother, who had passed away a few years ago, left him a very nice Cadillac car. He said it had less than 10,000 miles on it, even though it was a few years old. She kept it in the garage. Richard said he loved that car, and he and his wife loaded up, and they headed out toward Houston. They were going down the interstate, and at some point he said, I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden he said the car went airborne, like he had hit something. He didn't know what happened. It went airborne, slammed down on the pavement, blew out all four tires. He lost control of the vehicle, went across the median, flipped the car over on the top, and started sliding down the interstate on the wrong side of the road, upside down. He said, and the pastor said that he could barely get his words out of his mouth because he was crying so much. But he said he was sliding down the road upside down, and he looked and he saw two semis, two 18-wheelers coming for him and his wife just at that moment. He said all of a sudden there was a little white Ford Ranger, a little small truck, came from around the side of one of those 18-wheelers and got right in front of them, right in the middle of the road, straddled the yellow line, and both of those trucks split. One went to the right, the other went to the left and went around them. He said he was sitting there upside down with his seatbelt on in the car, and a little old granny with white hair and glasses got out of the car and walked over to them, leaned over, bent over, and said, are you all right? Little granny. Richard said, I'm okay. And then he turned to his wife and he said, honey, are you okay? And she said, I'm fine. And he turned back around and that little old granny was gone. Not only was she gone, but the truck was gone too. Living in the presence of angels. Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 9 says, in all their affliction he is afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them and bare them and carried them all the days of old. That's a promise for you and me facing the end of time. Not only is this Bible verse a promise to you and me, but this story of this little granny, an angel disguising himself as a little granny and protecting him, putting that vehicle there and making those trucks go around, that is a promise also to you and me. Because God is not a respecter of persons. What he has done for one, he is more than willing to do for another. My next story here, I've titled it, Stuck on Top of the Mixmaster. Has anyone ever heard of the Mixmaster in Dallas, Texas? Anyone? No. Well, the Mixmaster is a hodgepodge of intersecting highways and interstates, two interstates, and several other highways that all meet at the same place. And there's like overpasses here, there, and everywhere. And when I was a kid, I was always afraid to go over the Mixmaster because it was so high. But every morning when you listen to the news on KRLD out of Dallas, Texas, they always talk about traffic on the Mixmaster. It's always something about the Mixmaster. Well, my sister Katrina, a few years ago, she lives in Dallas, and she lives in the southern part of, actually it's a small town just south of Dallas. Well, she and a church friend of hers had to take care of some business on the north side of Dallas, where that's where the Mixmaster is. And she said on the way back, they had to go all the way up to the very top and around. And she said as they started going up, the car started sputtering. You know what I'm talking about? It was night, too, by the way. Nighttime in Dallas, Texas is a scary time. Dallas is a very wicked city. So anyways, they're going up the Mixmaster on this road, and it starts sputtering. And when they got to the very top, it stopped. The vehicle stopped, and they couldn't start it. Now, I don't know if you realize this, but there's not a lot of shoulder space. There was no place to get off, like to the side. This is an overpass. And my sister said they sat there, and they knew they were about to get hit. And the fear of getting, you know, knocked over the side of this thing. My sister said she turned around and she could look down and see the traffic coming up, the cars. And she said all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a little granny in a white Ford Explorer, not Explorer, but a Ranger, a little white truck, came up behind them and started pushing them. She pushed them up and over the Mixmaster down, and you would think she would have just pushed them for 100 feet or so. My sister said that she turned around because they were scared to death. Now, this is Dallas, Texas. A few years ago, there was a little trick that criminals were playing on people driving around Dallas where they would come up behind them and run into them. And when the person would pull over to, you know, deal with the accident, they would get out and shoot them and rob them, leave them for dead. So here this little granny is. She pushes them over the Mixmaster, but she didn't stop there. Now, I said my sister lived in South Dallas. This is in North Dallas. That little granny kept pushing that car, not a mile, not 2 miles, 3 miles, for about 18 miles she pushed their car. 18 miles? That's what she did. My sister said, I turned around, you know, and I looked, and she said all I could see was a little white curly hair and knuckles on the steering wheel. Now, after she shared this with me again when we were in Texas, I said, well, let's analyze this for a second. Here you've got a situation where you're at night, you're in Dallas, Texas, at night, on the freeway, your car stops, and the angel comes along to get you out of harm's way, but he could have appeared as a man. That would have scared my sister and this other lady to death to have a dude back there pushing their car. So what the angel did is he took the most harmless figure that he could, a little old lady with white hair and glasses, who was so short she couldn't even see over the steering wheel. This lady pushed them for 18 miles all the way down to Cedar Hill. Two exits up from where they needed to get off, she stopped pushing them. They pulled over to the side. She pulled up beside them, let the window down, and said, well, this is where I get off. And they thanked her, and she went on their way. She went on her way. They sat there just dumbfounded at what had just happened. And they tried the car again. It started up. They drove just a mile or two down the way, and they were at home. Living in the presence of angels. Do you think God would do that for you? Do you think he would? I think he would. Psalm 34 and verse 7. And 8 says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. The Lord is so good. He always provides for his own. I've entitled this one, I'll Walk You to Your Car. Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 17 says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the saints, of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Jim Hartwick was a call porter in Fresno, California, a few years ago. He would go out in the community and he would knock on doors and he would meet the people. He would share the books with them. And he said many times they would ask him to come back the next evening. Well, this one particular evening, he returned to this neighborhood. He showed this lady the books and she wanted them. And so he made the sale there. And he asked her, he said, "Do you have anyone in the neighborhood that you think might be interested in these books?" And she said, "Well, yeah, Miss So-and-so up the way here, she'd probably be happy to have you come over." So the lady went in and called this lady up the way, told her that Jim might come by that evening, either that evening or the next evening, and just keep an eye out for him. And the lady said she would. And Jim, he thanked the lady for her time. He opened the door and walked out. And he said he had parked his car about a block up the road from this lady's house. He said, "As I walked out of the house, I looked up the street, and there were several individuals standing by my car. And he said, I had the funny feeling that they were waiting for me. One of these gentlemen," he said, "had a handle in his hand with a chain attached to it. And they were standing there waiting for him. He said, I stopped and I prayed and I asked God for divine protection. He said, as soon as I said that prayer, I had this feeling of peace that came over me, and I started walking toward my car." He said before he started walking, he said he looked around to see if there was anyone else around, you know, someone that he could get to go with him, and there was nobody there. So he starts up toward his car, and as soon as he started walking, a voice behind him said, "I'll walk you to your car." Very masculine voice. He said, "I turned around and I looked and I didn't see anybody, but I kept walking." He said he walked up to his car. Those men stayed right there. He opened the door, got in, closed it, started the engine, and then he said he drove down the street looking for this person who said he was going to walk him to the car. He just wanted to thank him for the kind gesture. He said, "I drove down the street, didn't see anyone, and I turned around and I left." The next evening, he came back to that same neighborhood because, remember, the other lady had called a friend up the road. Well, that friend up the road, her house was right there by his car. She said the next evening when he came back, she said, "I saw you when you came out of Miss So-and-so's house down the way." She said, "I saw that guy that was with you that walked you up to the car." She said, "I was praying for you because I also felt that those men standing by the car were waiting for you." She said, "This gentleman that walked you to the car," she said, "you got in on the driver's side, he got in on the passenger side, and you guys drove away together." True story. Can God do that? Yes, he can. Now, these stories that I'm sharing with you, some of them were taken from this book, In the Presence of Angels, by Lonnie Melashenko and Timothy Crosby. Have you ever seen this? You have? Do you have it? It's an excellent book, especially in the light of the fact that we're living in the last days. I think as the end of time draws nearer and nearer, we're going to need to have some of these stories stored up because we're going to need a lot of divine intervention in these last days. A lot of divine intervention. God can walk you to your car and you not even know about it, but everybody else around you can know it. That's how good the God we serve is. No weapon, absolutely no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. The Lord is so good to his people. There was another story. I think I may have shared this one here before. Young lady was hanging out with some friends, an Adventist girl, and she was hanging out with a friend, and this friend's boyfriend, you know, they got in the car with him and they went riding around town, and he took them way out of town, way out into the woods somewhere, and he had very evil intentions. In this area, there was a man who was going around molesting women, and doing very bad things. And this had been going on for some time. But anyways, this gentleman takes them out into the woods, and he tried to get them to go along with a very evil plan that he had for these two young ladies. And this Adventist girl said, "I am not going to defile myself." And he told them that if they didn't go along with what he had planned, that he was going to leave them out there, way outside of town, out in the woods. That's scary. Many times in life, the crises that we face are scary. But I tell you what, it's a scarier thing to not go through that crisis. It's a scarier thing to go through the crisis without God than it is to just go through the crisis. You follow me? This young lady said, "I'm not going to do it." And she got out of the car and she started walking back to town. Shortly after she left, she said she was walking. She could see by the moonlight, you know, the road. It was a dirt road. She said she could see some guy or figure coming down the road toward her. She said that she prayed and asked God to be with her. And as this figure approached, as he got near her, he stepped off in the ditch on the other side of the road as she went by. Needless to say, it was the same guy that was doing all those evil things in the area. And he went out there where the other man, the gentleman and his girlfriend were, and did some very bad things to both of them. I think he put the young man in the hospital. Very bad things. Later on, when they captured this guy, they asked him if he remembered this situation, and this young girl who was walking all by herself. And he said, "Yeah, I remember her." And they asked him, "Why didn't you attack her? Why didn't you assault her? She was by herself." And he said, "Well, there was this 12-foot-tall dude that was with her." A dude that was muscular, built like a bodybuilder, walking along with her. And she wasn't molested. The Lord is good. 1 Samuel 2 in verse 30 says, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed," and we want to focus on the last part of this verse, "I said indeed that thy house and thy father's and the house of thy father shall walk before me forever, but now the Lord saith, be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." May the Lord help us to honor him continually, always, so that he can honor us by sending those heavenly protectors to keep us in these last days. Another story. There was a young lady by the name of Roberta who lived in Newfield, Maine. Her husband had left her, and she had full custody of her children. And she said it was so hard to take care of this little family. She said the only money that she had coming in was $150 a week, and she had to take care of everything with that. And she had been providing for her family on $150 a week for a year. Memorial Day came around, she said, and I was so utterly discouraged and disheartened. She didn't have very many friends. There was no shoulder to cry on. Her friends, she said, were just too busy to lend a hand, and she was down. One of her children got hurt and ended up in the hospital. And she said, we went to the hospital, we stayed there, and we left the hospital around midnight on the way home. And about 3 or so miles from home, she said she was going along, and a thought came to her mind, you know, you have a lot to be proud of. A lot of people can't do what you're doing. A lot of people find it difficult to do what you're doing with a spouse, and you're all by yourself. And she thought, well, you know, that's true. You know, God has helped me tremendously. And she said, after being depressed for so long, she said she felt joyful all of a sudden. She was driving along. Her son was sitting in the seat beside her. And she said, all of a sudden, out of the corner of her eye, she saw a wing on this side of the car, like a bird's wing. But it wasn't a regular bird's wing. It was gigantic, she said. It went away, and she kept driving, and then she saw it again. This time, she said she could see a glowing object above the front of her car, and the wing, she said, she could see on both sides, out both windows of the car. And she kept driving, And she thought to herself, either this is an angel or I'm seeing things. And she started to question her sanity because her son didn't say a word. So she kept driving, and after a few minutes, this angel disappeared, and then it came back again. And then her son, who had been sitting there quietly, he said, Mom, there's a huge white bird flying over our car. And he said, it must be a giant eagle or something. He saw it with her. That was what she needed to encourage her that God would take her through that trial that she was in. Is God concerned about the mothers and the children who have no fathers and the mothers who struggle alone? Yes, he is. And sometimes he shows us his angels to give us the encouragement that we need. We are approaching the end of all things. I personally don't know if this is going to be it, if this economic issue that we're having is going to lead into something bigger. But you know what? It really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. If we have God walking with us continually and we live in the presence of his angels and live in such a way so that they can be with us, then we have absolutely nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. Last Sunday, when we flipped over and went into the water, so many things could have gone wrong. My children could have drowned. Any one of them could have drowned. There could have been snakes there. The interesting thing that happened, though, remember I mentioned that the bank was really high and it was slick and muddy, very steep. God had placed a log right there at that spot by the bank, and it was angled perfectly like a stairway. And all I had to do was hold my kids' hands, and they were able to walk up that log to get out of the water. God always makes a way of escape. It's my sincere hope and prayer that each of us will live in such a way that we can live constantly in the presence of angels. And I also hope that we'll treasure up these stories of the angels and use them one day to help us get through our trials. Thank you.